So just check in with yourself and know that every decision that you're making daily, whether it's a small thing like makeup or if it's something big about a business or whatever, just check in with yourself and align with it and know that this is for you and no one else, and then go for it.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. I'm very, very thrilled that today I've got Nova Jane Ward, founder of FitCover and G-Banger, with me. And I'm looking forward to this conversation because Nova is a dynamic entrepreneur, a female entrepreneur, and a visionary in the beauty and fitness industry. And she's known for her innovative approach to combining fitness and cosmetics. As the founder of FitCover, Nova has revolutionized the beauty space by creating a brand that caters to active individuals who demand high performance, reliable, sweat-proof mineral makeup that enhances their natural beauty without compromising on quality. Her journey began with a passion for fitness and a frustration with the lack of makeup products that could withstand intense workouts and last all day long. Nova is also the creative force behind G-Banger, a brand that celebrates confidence and individuality through bold and stylish designs. G-Banger's products are crafted to empower women to embrace their unique identities and express themselves with confidence. Nova, welcome to the podcast. It's so good to have you here with me today.
Thank you. I'm excited. What an introduction.
What an introduction. You have certainly done so much with your life already, and I'm so thrilled that we get to hear more about your story and pretty much dive deep into how you became so dedicated to empowering women through promoting self-love and challenging industry norms. So firstly, Nova, I just wanted to ask, like, this morning, have you already had your workout, and what did you wear to your gym workout if you did?
Yeah, I already have. It's something that I need to do before I go and face my phone or anything else, any emails. So I just wore my seamless activewear. I had a two-piece. I love a lot of brands, but one of my favorite is Crop Shop. So I wore that today.
Amazing. And I'm guessing you probably would have had some fit cover on as well, which I know a lot of women tend to wear makeup to the gym. And most of the time, our partners, usually it would be a male that would say, "You don't need makeup. Why do you wear makeup to the gym?" What do you normally say to people that like ask you that? Or what do you normally say to that?
It's really interesting because when I launched Fit Cover in 2017, to me, I thought it was so normal. Like it's not like I went and sat with a group of girlfriends and questioned them whether they wore makeup or not. I honestly thought it was just as normal as putting our underwear on every single day kind of thing. Like, but it was so normal for me. I launched, I learned very quickly in the comments of Instagram, a lot of hate, a lot of why would you? You're going there to try and pick up, like you're just going there to work out. What's the, all of that sort of stuff. And what was so beautiful about this is people reading that who wear makeup and for their own personal reasons, and they were going in and just saying, "This is why I wear makeup to the gym." And there's just so many reasons why so many women choose to wear makeup. For me, I have worn makeup since I suppose started noticing my breakouts and, going to school and feeling that massive anxiety and realizing what I look like as a young female. And so I would grab anything I could at that point, but I was never educated enough or cared enough even to know that whatever I was putting on my skin was actually making it worse. If someone had said, "This makeup that you're putting on is making your skin worse," then I would stop doing that and maybe look further into what could help my skin. But I just needed to get through my days with more confidence so I could focus on everything else that was important in my life than worrying about, oh, is this person studying my skin? Are they thinking I'm ugly? Like all of this horrible stuff that comes through when you're like 14, 15, and you're just trying to find yourself. So makeup was like I suppose it was a mask for me, but it was a mask where it really became a positive outlet for me because I was able to just cover up, deal with whatever was going on in my life, and then at home, look at my skin and just wish it was different kind of thing. And as I got older, I naturally was still putting makeup on, and I moved into personal training in the fitness world pretty quickly because I don't even really know. I was a really athletic kid growing up, so it would have just been a natural approach for me to continue moving my body in some way because I was very, very high energy. So I needed some kind of outlet. So when I started training, I naturally was putting makeup on. So to go back to your question, what I would say to people would be just there'd be a lot of things depending on what they would say to me, but it's like it's my prerogative. This makes so good. Like, I don't, back in the day, we used to be like, let's have a goal in 6 months. I want to feel really great. I want to be this size and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why can we not do the steps right now to feel great before we even walk into the gym? The gym is already so
So
scary.
daunting.
Yeah. And there's mirrors everywhere. And then we sweat and then we go red and these things happen, and then we just want to leave, and then we get more nervous about going back, and like it's just this cycle. And if I can play a part in people's lives by just taking down any of those,
Stickers.
and the limiting beliefs and like the anxiety and all of that, if I can just play a part in that every day for them, then I've done my job. And it just turned out that I was able to create that platform through cosmetics.
That's amazing. I say all power to you, girl. Like, I totally agree. It's our own prerogative whether or not we want to wear makeup. And I think that any woman that has the confidence to go to the gym on her own can show up however she wants to, regardless of if she wants to go barefaced or like have her skin without makeup or, with makeup. And it's really like for me, it's really the fact that I like when I look in the mirror to just not have any self-judgment because sometimes I think like this is just my own story, but I can be very self-critical. So if even if I've got like a little bit of bags under my eyes, I won't feel as good as if I have just, got a bit of makeup on and it's a tiny little layer that makes all the difference to how we feel. But it doesn't say, that does not mean that we aren't confident in who we are or that we're insecure or that we are unkind to ourselves. It just means that it just, makes it a little bit more enjoyable when we're at the gym or when we're looking in the mirror and we just feel good. It's the same reason why guys do their hair and it's the same reason why guys put on nice shirts. You feel good. You don't want to look like a dag when you're at the gym. And the same way women don't want to go to the gym and look like they're sleepy or that they've just woken up. So,
And it's an act of self-love, like, and we all can do that in our own unique way. For me, I've got so many things of self-love that I do, and part of that is I train for mental health. I don't train for body image. That's just a bonus that kind of comes with it at the end of the day. My makeup routine is just an act that I love to do every single day, and it's just something that I love to do for myself that makes me feel really good. I'm not doing it for anybody else but myself. I think that if you can like really look at the things that you're doing and question, is this for me or is it for everybody else? And if you're constantly choosing yourself, then you don't have to explain to anybody why you're doing what you're doing, no matter whether it's makeup, training, I don't know, like you like a wine every night. If you don't explain it, like just go and do it, like
I
live your
love
life.
that. I totally agree. If it's for yourself and you're not just doing it, you're not changing your course or changing how you show up or what you wear or letting anyone dictate who you are and how you show up, that's super, super important. I've been seeing how women have been able to rise up above like what other people say, and especially if they are in relationships where their partner kind of subtly really puts them down. I think it's very, very important that women speak up for themselves and actually kind of call it out and say, like, hey, I'm like, you don't need to tell me what to not or what to wear. And you don't need to tell me like what I can and cannot do or make any suggestions because I know who I am in myself. And I think it's important to actually say these things out loud to people that might even come from a good place. It might even be really genuine, but if it doesn't make you feel good and there's something inside your body that tells you there's this discomfort and you're feeling it in your body and you're like, there's something that just rubs me up the wrong way or just doesn't feel good. Call it out. Say, I encourage people to actually speak up. And I do that a lot. Like I've done that in most of my relationships now when I got to my 30s, because in my 20s, I remember my ex-boyfriend back then telling me that I should dress sexier because other women who didn't have a body like mine were flaunting their curves or whatever. And I just remember feeling like that really affected my confidence because I was more classier type of style. And I remember feeling bad about that and having to deal with that for years before I came to know myself. So I love what your brand is about.
And like I'm in a new relationship, and I think that when I look back at my relationships all through my teens and 20s, if I had someone to really explain to me the importance of setting up for yourself in that way, and it's not about calling out like having conflict all the time, it's all of that. It's like it's you really setting the tone on how you expect to be treated, and you're not asking for too much, then all power to you. And I also would expect my partner to be doing that to me. And if you've got a problem with it, you don't love me. That's it. We don't need to go any further. Like, if you love me and I'm telling you that I don't like that for some reason, then let's just accept it, you know?
Yeah, totally. I love that. Yeah. So when you launched FitCover and you started this brand, it's e-commerce, it's obviously something that, makeup has been around for a very, very long time. There's competition, I guess, even though there's not a lot of brands out there that are sweat proof and, gym proof. How did you manage to get this brand to market in a way where people actually found it and purchased it?
First and foremost, the amount of, is this a word, naivety that I had was definitely a hero part in launching and just going fully into something like this. I think that if I started to look for like deep into it all and really try and picture how all of the moving parts that do come with business, I would have in 5 minutes talked myself out of it every single time. A lot of people do that, whereas the only research I did at the time was I went on YouTube and typed in what makeup to wear to the gym, and over 2 million views were on all of these videos. And I was like, first of all, oh my God, I'm not the only one suffering from this anxiety and this unknown of like, where the hell do we get this makeup from? Like, surely there's got to be a brand out there. I was just looking for another brand to help me, and there was nothing. So I suppose like starting the brand, I didn't really know. It was best that I didn't know all of the moving parts. I just went one step at a time. And then so it honestly has felt like from the first day till even today, I've just been putting out fires, like learning about the next step and going, okay, like there's a little fire there, put it out straight away, cool, win, oh, there's a bigger one. Like it's kind of just like blindly going through the business world with my passion and knowing that there's a lot of women out there that needed the product.
That's so awesome, Nova. And I totally agree. Like in business, there's so many fires that we have to deal with. And everything is, you're navigating new waters every single time you scale and you grow. And there's always setbacks, but what's really positive about your brand is that you've been able to bring it out to market. And I wanted to know how long between concept and people buying the product for the first time.
The first time I had the idea of the actual product and just needing it myself was 2008. And then as I matured through life, I started to realize that maybe I could own a makeup brand and do this myself. And that was in 2017 when I launched. So it was a very long time of kind of like needing the product, nothing still was out there. And then growing within myself, aligning with it a lot more, and knowing that possibly I could actually achieve this, no matter where I came from in life. And yeah, and so then I started the brands with my ex. I was pregnant with my first baby, and we had $6,000, so we decided to buy all of that in product.
Wow.
sat online, and the influencing world was really interesting at that point compared to now. I reached out to everyone I followed that it was inspired me in fitness: Paige Hathaway, Lauren Simpson, Hattie Boydell, Hannah Oberg, all of the big, I just reached for the stars straight away. I didn't mess around. I just knew, like, I was so confident in what I was bringing out that I was like, surely if I can't find this and I'm a fitness girl, this is something that they're needing as well. So I got their addresses, I sent them product, and that's pretty much
Wow.
we scaled as like quickly at the beginning without
Yeah.
Facebook ads and without money, was just getting these girls to love the concept and love the brand and backing me behind it.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. That's such a good way to scale, honestly. Because I talk about this in my talks. I do a lot of talks around the world about marketing to millennials and how to get millennials to back a brand when there's so much competition out there. And one of the things is finding that point of difference, but also knowing that you've got value to give to somebody and really believing in your product. And then, of course, if the ethos and the values of the brand match with the consumer, it's a win-win, because when people hear about the things like you're advocating for women's, to empower women to embrace their unique individuality, to express themselves and be confident, that's another bonus that gets people to back your brand. And I think that's fantastic because it ties in with what your product is about. With the creation of the products, making it sweatproof, waterproof, etc., did you find many challenges when that was being created? How was that process?
I did start try and start the brand, I think around 2010, I had an attempt to start it, and I went straight to a pharmaceutical scientist. Actually, maybe it was 2014. I thought that that's what I needed to do, like go to someone and create. And I wanted a liquid foundation to start with. And so we were going back and forth constantly. And she just wasn't even close to like what I needed. It came across like this thick kind of sunscreeny feel. It was horrible. And so I had to kind of, I wasn't a powder girl like at all. And so
Neither.
I needed to start kind of like moving more towards like what else I could find that could really, because it had to withstand a workout and cover my skin and be good for my skin. And like the liquid at the time just wasn't working. Nothing on the shelves I could even use as a benchmark. So I really had nothing to play around with. And then I hired a pharmaceutical scientist. She was from the Philippines, a VA, and I worked with her closely, and she just got the concept. And that's
Wow.
we realized that it was a mineral makeup that we really could work with on this. And then at the same time, as things align perfectly, when you're trying to force something and it's just not working, things kind of don't feel like they're dropping into your lap in a way. But when it's the right time and things are aligning, things get a little bit easier. And at that point, I met a woman that owned a makeup brand. I think she was 12 years into her brand at that point. And she easily could have told me, no, don't want to work with you because you'll end up being a competitor or something. But I went into her office fully pregnant and just blurted out my passionate idea and was like, what do I do? Where do I start? Like, I know nothing about creating makeup, but I just know that this is going to work. Can you point me in the right direction? And she saw her in me, because she started her brand when she was pregnant and all of that sort of stuff. So she ended up helping me find a manufacturer and creating the powder together. And that's how we started. And so it just happened to be a mineral powder, which wasn't really loved back then either. Like mineral powders weren't really fun to us. But this one was milled, so like grounded so many more times than usual that it applied like butter. Like it was just like a silky, almost liquid feeling, but it was a powder. And then we went through all of the trials and testing, and I sent out the product to all of those influencers I was talking to. And they were like, yeah, it's definitely sweat proof. It didn't come off at all. It even looks better after I sweated in it. And so then I was like, freaking tick of approval, let's go.
Let's go indeed. Oh my goodness. That sounds amazing. I'm very excited to get my hands on this. I'd love to know, Nova, when you're sharing this product with an influencer, and influencers, they tend to charge a lot.
It's known that it's an industry where there's no benchmark. It really depends on whatever they set and feel. How did you guys maintain a budget and sit within your marketing budget while working with UGC and micro influencers and nano influencers?
I don't recommend this approach, but I'm just going to be honest with the approach that we had, because we both didn't come from my ex was in the brand for a year and I've had the brand for 7 years. But at the beginning, when we were doing this approach, it was throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. Like, so to be very honest with you, there was no budget. It was like, look at the cash flow. What can we afford? Do we feel like we could possibly get reach through this person or not? So it was very deep dive.
Intuitive.
Yeah, intuitive for sure. And a deep dive into their social media to kind of trying to understand the engagement, see if there was more males commenting in their comments and liking their stuff, or was it more females? And if it was females, were they just liking it, saying, yeah, girl, or saying, you inspire me, I love what you do, I love what you're wearing, what brand is that? Like, it really comes down to not just looking at the numbers and going, oh yeah, quickly they've got heaps of comments, heaps of shares, heaps of views, but like really seeing whether those followers actually are inspired by this person and see what they say is kind of gospel, you know?
Yeah.
And then that's where we kind of could understand the amount that we saw could be appropriate as well. We've definitely spent $10,000 on one influencer, and I absolutely love this girl and she's amazing. But sometimes it's always going to be a gamble, even for them. Like, I know that I do influencing now at a very small scale. And when I accept a collab, the amount of like, this has to work, because I don't want to hand back a like post a reel, do everything that they want me to do. And if it doesn't get the views, it doesn't get the comments and all of that, I feel really shit about it. So just as long as like I'm dealing with these influencers and I notice in the communication that they really care about what they're bringing to the table and they put that effort in and they really want it to work for both parties, it really comes down to intuition. And sometimes even that whole process goes really well and it still doesn't work, it's okay. Like, it's just, it is what it is. That's marketing at the end of the day. We're always throwing money at Facebook ads, and some ads work, some ads don't, and all of that sort of stuff. And you really have to be okay with letting go of that kind of side of the control of it and just doing the best that you can when you are talking to influencers. But yes, and then also, even when I collabed with a really amazing influencer, just having that brand connection, like, we might not have seen sales, but sales do finally come back around because they remember seeing that story from that girl and all of that sort of stuff. But there's no blueprint, unfortunately. I don't think there's any real formula that has always worked for a company.
Absolutely. I think definitely it seems the more people I talk to about influencer marketing and the more people that are creating products and using like social media and the e-commerce world is obviously very competitive. Everyone does business differently as well. But once you've found your sweet spot, I mean, I think it's so wonderful when that happens. It's so encouraging. It's so validating. It's so validating for the hard work, for your business. And it's just such a great tool to get a message out there as well. So, yeah,
Yeah.
congrats. Like, that's absolutely awesome.
Thank you. I think UGC's been a really great move in the right direction with social media and brands and all of that, because when you think about it, like, your customers are the rawest, most valuable feedback that you could ever possibly have within your brand. So instead of finding the picture perfect influencer, go to your customers and be like, hey, like, you see the value you've bought from us, you use the product, I've seen you buy 5 times, like, in this year or whatever. What can I give you to get you to do your own posts for us? Like, that's where also you're going, those people are going to connect with all our audience more so than these influencers that we aspire to be one day. And we feel like it's just so far of a reach to be that person. And I don't ever encourage comparing yourself to other people as well. So if I can really bring more of like the real life, circumstances happening with Fit Cover, then that's what I want to kind of push to. So I'm more moving towards who are my customers? Are they open and willing to work with me instead of me going to high influencers and feeling that disconnect and that distance between who they are and who the customer is?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly right. I want to move on to G-Banger for a moment because lately there's been a lot of people that have started to look behind the fabric and material of what they are wearing. And that's obviously something that's really important, especially for women. You know, we are wearing underwear all day long. It's so close to our reproductive areas. There's a lot of research now that's coming out with the fact that some things aren't as natural as brands say they are, or, you know, there are synthetic materials. Could you tell us a bit about like the process for you, how you went about with creating this product, and was that a big factor in like making it work?
Yes and no. So starting this brand was a whole new world for me, like going into apparel. So again, I was just like blindly just going in, and then also when you launch a brand, you notice your brand will slowly, you'll have an idea and you'll think you've covered it all, and then luckily your customers will start to communicate, feedback on the brand, and the brand naturally needs to go in that direction. So you need to have that range and flexibility to change things. Don't be so stuck on your idea completely, because if you're going to do that and customers aren't liking it, then you're just not going to have a brand eventually. And so I didn't think too much about like actual fabrics, because I felt like I'd never had any issues with fabrics at all personally. But then when you go into a industry, with makeup, I learned so much about what issues people were having with makeup, and then had to cater to that. And now I'm in G-Banger. I'm like, oh wow, okay. So I didn't know that girls, it was quite common to buy new underwear every 3 months. I've still got some underwear from back when I was pregnant. Like I had no idea. So that was all really new for me as well. And then now, 2 years into the brand, I'm starting to kind of educate myself more on fabrics like bamboo and all of that. And I really have a dream to, or it's a dream and a plan. So it's more kind of set in stone to have the same style, but actually get more educational on the fabrics and changing the fabrics up to something that women feel like they won't have to worry about any issues if they do suffer from that. So I definitely have to do a lot better in that area. I just didn't realize that people were having issues in that way, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's something that doesn't necessarily come up until maybe later down the track, I'm guessing, or it's not something that people experience symptoms of where it's very obvious. But as I mean, my girlfriends and I are really passionate about health and wellness and well-being, and we send each other articles and things like that. And I remember a girlfriend sending me something on Instagram, and it got me to question things like the material of, or what our period cups are made of, even, and the material of our underwear and what we put on our skin and our deodorant, etc. You know, one of our girlfriends, created a deodorant brand because she found a gap in the market. Like, it's something that we are all very passionate about. But I do really admire the fact that what you've done is you've gone out there, you found a gap in the market, and you've gone and filled that gap yourself because you know that you can rely on your own research, and you obviously dedicated the time, the finances, really had to put in a lot of work to make this happen. I think a lot of people don't necessarily go out and do because of various number of different reasons, but it seems like you have been able to create success with that, which is wonderful.
Yeah, I like what we were talking about before we started. I went through a lot of body changes from having kids. I'd always, like, because I'd been fit my whole life and running and being this crazy kid with all of this energy, I'd never dealt with really too many feelings around, weight or what was happening with my body or anything. I just kind of skimmed past that at a point. But then obviously when I started having kids and I was literally like just going, this is all changing so rapidly. I can't even get my head around it. Like how, and then all of these thoughts and these feelings, and then going on social media and seeing girls looking so perfectly pregnant, was really extremely hard. It took a lot of the joy away from what I was going through. I wish that I stayed away from social media when I was pregnant, because I would have been more present and just loving how I was showing up in the pregnancy and connecting with the baby in that way and all of that. But I just honestly hated every part of it, like, or felt like I hated every part of it, because my body was changing so much. And then after having kids, you see people bounce back, you know, like so
Yeah,
quickly.
there's so much pressure.
There's a
Like
lot of pressure. And
crazy.
just, I just don't want anyone, like, when I have go look back and look at those feelings and how I felt and the time wasted on that as well, I just don't want people feeling like that. And so a part of the brand was really trying to push the what truly is inclusive. And I just felt like a lot of brands were missing that point. I think Lorna Jane, this was years ago, and they got in a bit of trouble about it, but they did a job ad, and they did a job ad saying you need to be a size small, this, and this. And people like really kind of jumped on it and was like, that's not cool. And the way that I see it is, if I do a photo shoot, or the whole point of the brand is like, show up as you and absolutely love the shit out of where you are right now. You know, we all change, we're all going to go through our things and all of that, but just like, let's just try and keep practicing being present and loving the fact that we're doing the best that we can right now. We look great, we feel good, and I just want to really hone that in. And with the brand, I was able to kind of use that as a platform to be able to speak more about being inclusive. And the brands were, when they were trying to like claim to be inclusive, they were going and advertising just all XL. And I was like, yeah, cool. You know, great. I'm glad that you're supplying to XL, but that's not inclusive. Like, let's get every single size, height, shape, skin condition, like anything. Like, you don't even have to fit a criteria. No one's perfect. No one needs to show up if they're a certain size. Just, can I have 10 women? That's it. Like, you don't have to fit a criteria. Let's,
Love that.
this underwear is going to fit anyone and everyone.
I love
Yeah.
that. I absolutely resonate with that. And I think going back to you talking about social media and how that experience of seeing people show up perfectly obviously did affect the way you felt during your pregnancy. I think there's so much stuff out there that is just so unrealistic, especially on social media. And people almost position their lives around how their gram or their social media is going to look. And they do things, they go out and they excessively, like they put a lot of effort into getting the photos to look good and the videos to look good. And it just makes other people that end up, that aren't aware that it's obviously unrealistic and it's, not everyone is like that. It does make people feel crap. And that usually happens if we compare ourselves to others, which is sometimes quite normal and inevitable, but it's also something that we need to pay attention to because social media can end up being so toxic. And, for the women or the men that are listening, that are tuning into this episode right now, I encourage you, if you're seeing stuff on social media and you're like, wow, that guy's body is mad, or that woman is always spending so much on new outfits and new clothes and looking so good for the gram, I think it's important to just show up as you, the same as what Nova has said. I think it's really important to just embrace and appreciate that we have healthy bodies, we have a social network, we have income or whatever it is, and just be grateful for what you do have rather than comparing and always wanting that next best thing, which can be so toxic too, and it takes away a lot of the joy and our happiness and our internal happiness, which is never good. So, yeah.
I think it comes back around to what I was talking about earlier, and like, whenever you go ahead and do anything for yourself, whether it's putting makeup on, going and getting a nose job or a boob job, or going to the gym, whatever the hell it is, it doesn't really matter. just check in with yourself and be like, am I doing this for me, or am I doing this because everyone else is doing it, or I want my boyfriend to love me a bit more, or
Oh, yes.
it's
Amen,
outside of,
sister.
yeah, if it's outside of you, like I've done things. I had an explant, so I had a boob job for nine years. And I smashed my nose when I was young. So my biggest dream when I was younger was like, I'm the second I make money, I'm getting a nose job. And so I've had a nose job and I've had my ears pinned back. And I'm not going against doing this stuff. One influencer I absolutely love, and she does a lot of this stuff, but she owns it. She's real about it. She's raw. She shows up not looking perfect all the time, is Skye Wheatley. She's like a perfect example of. She even admits sometimes on social media, I've got body dysmorphia or whatever. Like, all I'm trying to say is don't pretend to be something that you're not, and stop doing these things to please other people. If you're going to do it, own it, enjoy it, love it, and know that you're doing it for yourself and no one else. Like, you don't have to hide that you're doing it. It's up to you whether you share that you get Botox or not or whatever. I'm not telling you to just go out there and tell everybody, but just. I come back to always talking about the feelings within you every day. You have to wake up to yourself every day, not to all of these strangers. Just always check in and make sure every choice that you make is for you and no one else. And then go and live life, have fun. We've got so many opportunities, so many things to play with. Like, just go do it, but just do it for you and no one else.
Oh, I totally agree. I
Yeah.
totally agree. I love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And especially don't do something for your partner. Like, I think that what you said earlier, if they don't accept you for who you are, that's not true love. Like you, a woman or a man should never, ever, ever have to change themselves for their partner
Yeah.
and, or change what they do or how they show up or anything. Like, just be yourself, maybe take a suggestion, but just consider what sits well for you. And if it doesn't sit well for you, then reject it and move on and talk about something else. So yeah.
I think the most profound moment for me in this was when I had to decide whether I was going to have an explant and get rid of my implants completely, not know what I was going to be left with. I just had two kids, or go and change the implant because it got recalled and it was a brand that was linking to lymphatic cancer. And I was making the move. I'd just gone through a separation. And so I was single, devastated that my partner had ran off and went with someone else that had fake boobs. And then I'm sitting there trying to work out. And I remember my thought pattern. I was like, oh my God, but if I take these out and I keep them out for my health, what if, and I'm moving to the Gold Coast of all places.
Oh
Like,
my gosh, yeah.
is it a place where I want to move to, flat chested, like not fitting in that way and all of that sort of stuff? Like, I was already feeling crap about myself because my partner had just left me. And I was like, I had to really be real with myself and check in and go, okay, what are the most important things to get to this answer? And my health just kept coming up to be the top priority. If I didn't have my health, I couldn't look after my kids. I couldn't run my business. So then showing up for every other stranger with fake boobs in the Gold Coast that I didn't even know and I shouldn't even care about was literally at the bottom of my list. And
Yeah.
then if I meet a guy that doesn't like a girl that's flat chested, I don't want to know you. Like, I have so many other things about me that you would love that you're going to miss out on just because I have flat boobs. Like, see ya. And so when
Yeah.
I did that and I went through that thought process, I was like, I'm always just going to keep choosing for myself. And then the right people are just going to come in anyway.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that you chose yourself and you decided not to put strangers at the top of your list, which ridiculously so many people do. And I think as we become more and more aware and self-aware, that like I love that process that you went through. So yeah, sensational.
Yeah.
Nova, I have some rapid fire questions, which helps our listeners to get to know you. It's basically five questions, and Whatever your answer is at the top of your head is the right answer. So, shall we do it?
Go.
All right. If there was one thing that you cannot live a single day without, whether it's a physical object or something non-physical, Nova, what would it be?
Okay, I'm gonna say my long black on coconut water with a dash of almond milk and vanilla.
Oh, yum.
It brings so much joy to my day. I get so excited for like the ice rattling like in the cup. It's just, yeah, it's that.
Love it. That sounds delicious. Question two is, what or who inspires you to do what you do today?
My past self. So like I in the way that I was brought up and the little girl that I was when I was younger and the environment that I was in, I just want to every day I want to move further away from that so that that's not a part of my life and a part of my kids' life. So that's just where that's the whole point of why I do everything that I do.
That's beautiful. I love that you are inspired by your younger self because it sounds like that means what you do is to empower people that are like your younger self. And, you're also healing your inner child at the same time, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Beautiful. Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Oh my God, this question has been asked within business, and I keep getting asked, like, because we've got to try and plan for 5 years. Do I want to sell? Do I want to keep it? Like, what do I want to do? Where do I see myself in 5 years? Which I'm going to be in my 40s then. I see myself with less anxiety in my throat, dealing with a lot of that at this at the moment. I see myself, it's more about feeling. It's not really
Yeah, I
object
love that.
or homes. It's like I'm working so much on just how I feel every day and the things that I don't like about how I feel is with my anxiety and my limiting beliefs, my fear of speaking in public and what happens there. I see myself in 5 years speaking on stage, like, and confidently without even feeling like my body's running from a lion at that point. I want to enjoy being so present and confident with who I am in 5 years. Everything else, whether I've got business, whether I don't, whether I have another baby, whether I don't, like that's all just gonna align in itself. But I want to really enjoy life more within like my everyday presence. And I'm dealing with a heap of anxiety at the moment. So I just really want to focus on working out why I'm dealing with that and what's going on.
Yeah, I love the kind of answer you've just given me because I personally see success as how we show up and how we are to ourselves. And I think success is about what's going on internally and not how we look, how we dress, how much money's in our bank account, how many properties we have, how many gigs we've done, or how many books we've written, or speaking engagements we've platforms that we've spoken on. I totally think that how we are and like being able to deal with whatever we're facing in this current moment and how we grow is way more important in life. And I really hope that you get there. And it sounds like you definitely are that type of person to work on yourself and, to work through that. So I'm
Thank
looking
you.
forward to seeing how many stages you show up in 5 years'
Yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure once you, it's one of those things where once you've tackled one, you've told your brain that you can do it, and then the next one and the next one and the one after that just becomes easier. And before you know it, speaking on stage is the same as being on on a call with a bunch of friends. It becomes kind of normal, in fact. At least that's how I've found it. But yeah, I really hope to see that for you.
I have a lot to say, so when I find when I get that confidence, like watch out.
Yes. Yeah, which you, I'm sure you will. Nova, what has been one big takeaway that you've had recently that's changed the way you show up or changed the way you see either yourself or the world? An aha moment or, yeah, like a takeaway that's just changed your perspective.
Oh my God, there's so many. I'm rapidly going through a lot of things at the moment, personally, in relationship, in business, all of that. One of them that just springs to mind, like you said at the beginning, is every fear is a lie. So like when we actually tell ourselves that this fear that we have is just in our imagination creating and trying to take control and find safety in something that is literally not real, then we could possibly step into something that usually would make us feel scared. We could step into it without that fear if we can just change our perspective in what that is and how we approach it. So I think that that was one thing for me, that I'm trying to remind myself every day. Yeah.
Wow, that's so good. Every fear is definitely a lie because it's fear is kind of something that is natural, right? It helps us run from the lion back in the ancestral days, but it's not real. Like I used to say to people, if you're feeling like you're anxious right now, just remember it's the lion's not here, the tiger's not here. You're actually safe. And sometimes having that reminder is really good because fear can serve us, but it also can really hinder us from living our lives in a really healthy or in a way that's really authentic. And yeah, I remember working through my own anxieties in my 20s. Like this is such a long time ago. It's over a decade ago now, but at the time it all felt very, very real. And I look back at my inner child now or my younger self and I go, wow, I'm glad I've work through some of that stuff because otherwise I don't know how I'd be able to operate in the world.
I just look at my kids and I'm like, I refuse to stay ignorant to these kinds of feelings. I want to be there for them and be that person where, like, it just takes a split moment for someone to come down to you at certain times in your life and say, hey, I see you, I hear you, you're safe, everything's okay. If someone actually did that in moments, it would obliterate anything that I now in my 30s are having to work on. And I'm like, life is already going to be interesting enough in ways for them that I can't control. But I'm definitely going to be making sure that they hopefully don't go through and all of these feelings and these limiting beliefs and all of this sort of stuff so that they can just flow through life at the best possible way without having these feelings come up and stopping them from just doing incredible things.
Yeah, definitely. Love it. If you could leave the world with one message, Nova, what would that be?
Just continuously keep checking in with yourself. Know who you are as quick as you can, and then also understand that who you were last year is it's okay to not be that person now. We all evolve, we all change. Don't be so hard on yourself. I'm saying this to you, I'm also saying this back to me. Like, and to everybody else, like I'm not sitting here saying I've worked it all out, you know? Like I'm saying this because life is just so freaking exciting and fun. And, the scary things make us really feel alive also, because we're passionate about it. So just continue on just experiencing life as is and just love every moment of it. Because in Australia, especially, we've got so much opportunity at our fingertips, and it would just be so sad to get to the end of our life and go, I should have done this.
Yeah.
So just check in with yourself and know that every decision that you're making daily, whether it's a small thing like makeup or if it's something big about a business or whatever, just check in with yourself and align with it and know that this is for you and no one else, and then go for it.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, Nova, that gave me chills. You are
Oh.
so spot on. There is so much to be excited about, so many opportunities out there. We have so much at our fingertips and every single person can achieve and do whatever it is that they put their mind to if they can let go of the baggage and the stuff that holds them back, that lingers either in their mind or in their bodies, and just, obviously shake it off. Thank you
Yeah.
so much for that. That is beautiful.
You're welcome.
Well, I hope that for the listeners that you are feeling inspired and uplifted after this episode. Thank you so much for listening in and for tuning into this podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode, we would absolutely appreciate your 5-star rating and reviews on Apple Podcasts. And please share this with your friends, your girlfriends, your family, your colleagues, and anyone who would benefit from hearing this episode. And remember, a life where you get to thrive and shine is your absolute birthright. And Nova, thank you so much for your time today. It's been such a pleasure. I've loved our conversation and I cannot wait to have more.
Thank you. I feel a lot of joy from this as well, so I appreciate it.
It's been an absolute wonderful time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.